There is something about the summer, the midsummer. Here we are in July, and it's that halfway point, isn't it, between June 21st and September 21st. So let us savor and enjoy each second and each moment. Let us pray. God, it is a gift to be outdoors, to find the wonder, even in the rain, in the trees, in the sun shining, in the pavement. The places where we gather, where we learn and discover the gift of your compassion and life. Amen. Summer brings many festivals, but also many moments where people reach out and ask you to pledge and support them. And this Sunday in particular is one where the Friends for Life People with AIDS rally, bike rally, makes their way from Toronto to Montreal. And one of our members, Daryl Zare, was reaching out to many to help ask for support. And it reminded me that they were going to be at 7 a.m. gathering at Nathan Phillips Square. And I said, well, I will go look and say hello to people. And there were several hundred, and many I knew and many I didn't know. But there was a great power and compassion and grace knowing that several hundred will be making their way from Toronto to Montreal, raising money so people with AIDS could help live with dignity and compassion. It's the gift we share, isn't it? When we think of summertime and we think of a piece of word that was sent to me not long ago, it said, mix with always your songs and the impossible runes that keep the hours on turn, that keep awe bear like. I keep songs close to me, and perhaps many of you do. Spotify is my very best friend. A friend of mine told me about it about 2 years ago. I have all these different combinations and variations. But music, as we hear Charlie sing a little later, helps us be ignited and know that journey of life where we can be and where it takes us. In the spring of the year, we hear David was there. This passage gives us a wee bit of vertigo, doesn't it? Vertigo is that moment, and my partner has vertigo, where you feel a bit dizzy when we look down at the text and say, what was David thinking, and what happens, and what does it mean for us? But when we look at the spring of the year and who we are, as we ask ourselves again, what does it mean for us? We look again at the people that speak in our world, and I came across the rather radical songs of DDT, a Soviet rock group. Imagine a Soviet rock group from the 80s, and they were challenging the government of the day, and it caused me to think for a moment that rock and roll, not only by the dress, but by the music, by the very lyrics, at times can be the prophets of today that challenge who we are and what we can be. It was actually a rap artist in Egypt that caused the Arab Spring. Music can be that catalyst, that fulcrum, that changing moment that caused people to stand up and take toll and know we need to change direction. It's as if we discover the poetry in the song, as Claude McKay writes, sometimes I tremble like a storm-swept flower and seek to hide my tortured soul from thee, bowing my head in deep humility before the silent thunder of your power. Song and poetry can cause us to stop where we are. It happened one afternoon, as Jennifer read in the text. It happened one afternoon that a relationship began. It happened one afternoon that humanity became flawed. It happened one afternoon that David, who was an obscure shepherd, who rose up in leadership, who had become king with several hundred wives, we forget that part of the story, and yet there was David, it happened one afternoon, looking out across. And the word is adultery. We don't talk about that in the church too much. We just know we're not supposed to. But perhaps it's about how we talk about intimacy with ourselves. And I'm not going to get into Dr. Ruth and a great extrapolation. But perhaps if we took time to speak honestly with each other, and I say perhaps parent and child, but it's bigger than that, isn't it? It's about grandparents and child and grandchildren. It's about aunts and nieces and nephews. And you see, there were times in cultures in ancient days where that was normal. People would have talked about intimacy and healthy ways of being. Yet somehow in our society, not only in the church, but clearly in the secular society, we've made it verboten, hidden away. healthy relationships. But here we had it happen in one afternoon where David looked at Bathsheba and said, I want her. Well, nowadays people look up things like Tinder or other things and decide they want that one or that one. It's become a bit like a menu selection. And we forget about the relationships that we share that can be part of who we are. But yet, it happened one afternoon that Uriah the Hittite was struck down. But it happened one afternoon where Nathan came to David and said this, David, what would it look like if a sovereign decided they wanted someone else's spouse? Well, that would be very wrong, wouldn't it? Exactly. So what were you thinking when you decided to be with Bathsheba? What were you thinking? What is the world thinking when they decide to break the ways of being, break the covenants? That there is David ready to seek reconciliation, ready to fall on his knees before the God of his father and mother and say, I was wrong. It happened one afternoon that the covenant of David, the covenant of Abraham and Sarah, was renewed for him and for all people. It happened one afternoon that Paul was writing to the Ephesians. Ephesus is an interesting community, as I was sharing in the early service. We sometimes forget that it's on that part of Turkey, once called Anatolia. And it was quite remarkable. We walked the ancient roads of Ephesus when we were on our Footsteps of St. Paul tour. And so imagine as if our entire sanctuary is transformed in a moment, and you have a road about 100 meters wide, give or take, and you have ancient dwellings on both sides that curve down into, and you see and imagine for a moment what it would have been like to walk into the city of Ephesus. And they had a great library, as I was sharing this morning, until Mark Anthony decided to give it away to Cleopatra. But yet there's Paul. Paul saying to the Ephesians one afternoon, Paul saying to them, work for the power of reconciliation. Work for that ministry of reconciliation and fulfill that sense of reconciliation, that renewing your relationship with God and with each other. Discover that love that is founded in Christ as the very fabric and way of our being. It happened one afternoon that the words that he spoke touched the hearts and life of the people. It happened one afternoon that the crowds gathered around Jesus because they heard there he was, someone so unique and so special. It happened one afternoon that there was bread. And we always have to remember, bread is ancient. Cultures have been breaking bread and celebrating, offering, and thanking the deity from the beginning of time. But there is that moment of Christ breaking in, not just about bread, but about remembering the person to our left, the person to our right, the bread of grace, the bread of hope, the miracle of possible. And there is Jesus stepping away because they wanted to make him king that afternoon. He says, no, that's not what I meant to be. And further, he said it happened one afternoon that they got in the boat, the disciples did, and Jesus wasn't with them, and the waves began to build and the wind began to build. It reminded me immediately many years ago, and I've told this story before, I tell it again because it spoke so loudly to me. We were in this remote part of Canada, Harrington Harbour, and in Harrington Harbour, you had 200 people living on the island. You had 150 living in Chevry and 100 living in Aylmer Sound. There was more black flies that could carry you away and do things, and I didn't know what black flies could do. That was the days of lots of aftershave, which was a bad idea. I think it's still a bad idea, but that's another story for another day. But that's a signal for the black flies to come. Needless to say, we were leaving Aylmer Sound, and we had done this a few times already. The weather looked clear halfway. The waves began to build. We were in a boat that was probably about 30 feet long. Looked like something you would take out of the Muskokas. Yet we were on the Gulf of St. Lawrence. This is the Gulf of St. Lawrence. This is the body of water just at the beginning of the Atlantic Ocean. 300 feet deep. The waves built and built, and the waves were washing over the boat. And I remember, as if it was yesterday, I praying deeply and imagining in my mind's eye the sense of Jesus being with us. As we arrived at the safe shore, I looked to my colleague who was my supervisor, Ken Chan, I said, well, that was a hard one. I guess you experience that all the time. Oh, never done one of those before. And I said, thank you for not telling me that. Thank you that I didn't know. You see, ignorance isn't bliss. It's a good thing sometimes. Because sometimes then we don't need to be, no, we need to be as terrified as we might be otherwise. But there was a sense of Jesus breaking into their day as the crowds gathered. As Prokhor Palmer reminds us, it's about that truth speaking to the very heart and life of our being, about us renewing that sense and gift of pledge. I promise to be with you. I know you are with me. As we hear in the gift of today, the writing of Paul to the Ephesians, about bowing his knees, about knowing that when we surrender and reconcile, something happens. It was the text today that touched me. And we hear Jesus saying, where are we going to buy all the bread to feed all these people? Well, nowadays we call Uber Eats, don't we? We call or Grocery Gateway. But they didn't have Uber Eats or Grocery Gateway. They had God, blessing and spirit and life and compassion with them, knowing that they were not alone. It's like a miracle broke into their day. There we have it. But miracles don't always come so quickly, do they? When one afternoon, David sent word to his soldier and said, strike him down. And Uriah the Hittite was struck down. Just like Sunday night. Sunday night a week ago on the Danforth. Sunday night a week ago, where many gather, where I've been before, many of us have been. And a person went and took open fire on innocent people. People died. People were injured. People were terrified. Yet Monday, there was a call for action. The faith leaders of the Danforth gathered and began to plan a multi-faith vigil. It was about everybody, not just about one person. So it was the Danforth BIA, Business Improvement Area, the Greek BIA, politicians, people gathered. It was Wednesday night. We walked from Danforth Church to beside the Astoria restaurant. And the culmination of the gathering was naming the names. The culmination was the song by Leonard Cohen. Hallelujah. And the text reads, now I have heard that there was a secret chord that David played and it plays the Lord, but you don't know really care for music, do you? It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the ballad king compassing, composing, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Two young lads, one on a guitar, one singing. And the crowd ignited and sang the Alleluia. There were hundreds, if not thousands, on the streets, taking back the Danforth, standing strong. We're reminded when tragedy strikes, not to run away, but to run towards each other. And remember, in the stranger is a friend waiting to happen, the gift of community. In the spring of the year, writes the text, it happened one afternoon. As Paul writes, I bow my knee before God. And the crowds gathered who bowed their knees. And Jesus said, come and sit down. I realize that sitting down is a way to calm down, isn't it? And Jesus was asking the crowds to calm down. Come, and he said to the storm, peace be still. Because it's about that moment where the storm is all around us and remember to renew that covenant that we have in the spring of the year, in the spring of the year. We're on the verge of change in humanity. And Yuval Harari writes, we're either going to become slaves to our technology or become transformed. We have the choice. God can guide us in a direction where we remember to put down the devices and listen and look at each other and remember to hear each other. as we hear in our year of anniversary a great light. As we hear in our year of anniversary a great light about bending the knee. You see, this is what our forebears did. They bent the knee. John Wesley was strangely warm. He bent the knee. Our Methodist forebears bent the knee. When we rebuilt the sanctuary of Metropolitan, we put kneelers in to be a main part of who we are. And when we celebrate communion, we bend the knee. I was talking with a woman from England, and she was telling the story about World War II and seven sons who went to war and came back. And I said, so how did they come back? I have and had sore knees when a mother prays for her children. Or more recently, it was cited on CBC that Fogo Island is that part of Newfoundland on the edge, and there were people leaving Fogo Island, and many people prayed. And they were ready to abandon Fogo Island, but what happened? They were out in a fishing moment, and there was a Japanese person, as they were looking for different species of fish, and they came up with sea cucumbers. Now we all know sea cucumbers. Those are those things we scrub our backs with, or some might scrub their back with. That saved Fogo Island, who would have thought. Now they were fishing from hundreds to millions, and it's abundant, all because they prayed. They bent the knee. You heard me talk about a week ago about prayer taking 10 years. And last Sunday, there was a lunch with brother, with sister-in-law, with sister, with brother-in-law, with my partner. The lunch took 10 years. The lunch was a gift. When we bend the knee, the world changes. When we bend the knee, our lives change. When we bend the knee, healing begins. When we bend the knee, we hear the words of Paul the Ephesians, to understand, to learn, to be that gift of reconciliation, to thirst for that life and possibility. We hear Jesus blessing that bread that we are so hungry for, and saying, here it is, come and share, come and know. In the spring of the year, it happened one afternoon that we bow to the knee, that we find God with us, and the people gathering. As we sit down, we hear that words, peace be still, knowing that we're not alone, that we find God in that light of the house, in the hidden moments. You see, this season of July is a great season, isn't it? Ancient people called it Lunasa. Lunasa, that halfway point between the solstice of June and the equinox of autumn, where celebration took place. And we can see it in the air. There's going to be a meteor shower, but there's that magic of summer, that gift of God breaking in to know that we are not alone. In the words of the poet, beyond the cheat of time, here where you died, you live. You pace the garden walk, and secure and sensitive, you linger on the stair. We heal the cracks. In the spring of the year and today, we are called to be healers of the cracks of the world, the broken places in society, when shootings take place, when people run away, when people are suffering. We are called to be the people to bend the knee even now. As Morley Punchin wrote so long ago, he said, remember the doorless world. The darkness is not so dense as it was. There are faint streaks on the horizon's verge. Mist is in the valleys, but there's a radiance on the distant hill. It comes nearer, that promise of the day. The clouds roll rapidly away, and they are fringed with amber and gold. It is the blessed sunlight that I feel around me. Morning, it is morning. May we discover the gift of surrender and bending the knee and finding in the storms of our world that prayer by prayer, moment by moment, we become that gift of light, that possibility of hope, and that moment of mending and healing.